Now it's time for Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party.
Yes, it is indeed. We'll be with Tracy every Wednesday on The Wire from now on. How are you doing, Tracy?
Not too bad, thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm excited to talk to you about politics every week.
Yeah, thanks for asking me.
So today, what I wanted to chat to you about is New Zealand First's take on the government's budget announced last week. So talk to me about your perspective. Good, bad, somewhere in between?
Okay, if I was going to put it into sort of a colloquialism from my age demographic, it would be that it's a better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick, is probably how we would put it.
Okay.
So people will know that last week we voted on a taxation bill which shifted the tax thresholds a little bit. But probably most importantly for New Zealand First, and I think you'll find for the Green Party, was that there were some incremental increases to the accommodation supplement.
Mm.
And that we voted for that piece of legislation because we know that things are so desperate out there for so many people around housing costs and accommodation costs, that to not vote for it would have just been just too mean. It just wouldn't have recognised what's really happening out there on the street. But apart from that, I mean, the budget debate's underway now, and we will oppose this budget. I mean, it does nothing for so many areas that are under stress.
And so what, talk to me about those areas. What do you think are the biggest ones?
Well, if we have a look, let's just take a couple of areas that are mine, you know, that I I work in. First of all, let's just have a look at education and have a look at special needs. Support for children with high physical, emotional and sort of neurological needs. Now, what this government has done is it's announced a certain amount of money spread over 4 years that will increase the amount of support for 4,000 children in New Zealand by 1 hour a day. So 5 hours a week.
Hmm.
And if I can just give you an example of the actual need, and let's take a child that nobody could say it's got anything to do with his home environment or anything else. Nobody could criticise anything about this little boy's illness in any way, shape or form. So he has type 1 diabetes and he's 5 years old. Now he goes to school because he has the right to go to school with his friends for 30 hours a week. That includes playtimes and lunchtime. Now he's funded for a teacher aide and he has to have a teacher aide with him all the time because he needs to have his blood sugars monitored, right? He has a teacher aide that the state will pay for 21 hours. So what happens in the other 9 hours? That's the point. That's the point of what's happening in the budget is, you know, the government has dropped a bit of money into a bucket over here saying we've given some money for all those children that need this support. But the reality is it doesn't go anywhere near to being a practical solution to what is the actual problem.
Yeah, because I mean, I guess the budget has been described by a number of commentators as quite an interesting shift to the left by the national government that this budget actually does have a lot to offer for lower income families. I mean, when you were mentioning the accommodation supplement, some families could have as much as $145 plus a week due to these accommodation supplement increases. But you're saying that this is not enough and that the increases have just not gone far enough?
Well, I think the criticism of that accommodation supplement is absolutely valid, the fact that it just passes straight through the hands of those New Zealanders into the people who own their flats. Now, and I'm not going to have a go at people who are landlords. We need people who are landlords because right now so many of our citizens can't afford to buy a house. So it's either have landlords or actually have more people in cars. But let's get real. It's not a solution. It's not a solution to the problem, which is the incredible lack of accommodation, the incredible lack of housing, the fact that most of our families or many of our families don't have enough income from their working week to pay their rent.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a supplement because we've got a massive issue right now and we needed to pass it. But long term, where's the plan long term? Mm-hmm. Where is the big vision long term? That's the question. And this budget does not show any vision like that.
And so I'd like to talk specifically about the health sector. So total health spending will be a record $16.77 billion in 2017-2018, which is an increase of $879 million, with an overall increase of $3.9 billion over the next 4 years. Is this not enough?
Well, I think what you've got to do is, and this is what the opposition's been trying to actually point out and get the government to answer, what is the actual person, you know, spend? What is the actual person spend compared to what it was in 2008, 2009, to what it is now, considering the increases in population. Because, we hear the same argument from this government around we're spending more money than ever before in education. Well, I'll tell you what, we've got more children than ever before. We've got more children in ECE, but we've just got more children. We're spending more money in health than ever before. Well, we've got more people, 72,000 net just in the last financial year. So do you see what I'm saying?
You have to give credit to the government, though, when they have actually increased the number of doctors and nurses working in DHBs across the country by more than almost 7,000 since 2008, which is an increase of over 28%, which fares pretty well considering population growth, which is about 8%. So that you have to give them credit in that respect.
Then why were the junior doctors going out on strike last year because they had such long working hours? Mm. And why are the rural doctors actually screaming out because we don't have enough people out in the region? So it may be that they've increased it by 28%, but why is there still such high need then? It's one thing to say what you've done over here. The other thing is to say, but is it actually an answer to the problem?
Mm. I'd also like to know your thoughts about mental health as well. Do you think that they are increasing a lot of funding, but do you think funding is the answer, or are there more answers to the mental health issue that we have in New Zealand?
Well, again, it comes back down to where your funding's going. I mean, when I first came into Parliament, so this is my second term, John Key had announced a $62 million fund for youth mental health, and that was to address the causes of youth suicide. Now, I'm fairly confident by saying that youth suicide has not dropped in the last 9 years, okay? Now, I'm not blaming the national government for the youth suicide rates, but what I'm saying is I then put in questions to the minister about where is the spend of that $62 million? And the answers I got back in the last term were that they had developed one website. Mm. So it's not necessarily the amount of money, and the government's the first to say it. Where is it being spent? And I'll give you an example. This government, the Ministry of Education, has refused for a number of years to actually change the counsellor-student ratio inside secondary schools. Now, we know we've got a crisis of anxiety inside our secondary schools, not to mention our tertiary. So why won't the ministry, why won't the government, change down those student-counsellor ratios so that we can actually have more counsellors on the ground working at the front end of the problem rather than waiting for our young people to actually need major mental health services?
Would you support an inquiry into the mental health system in New Zealand?
I would.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's mounting pressure from a lot of groups in New Zealand for that to happen, but the government doesn't seem to be too keen on doing that anytime soon.
I think Mike King coming out recently and actually saying, listen, and I can appreciate his frustration, but I can also appreciate, the ministry people he was working with. When you're told by the government the envelope is the envelope and we don't care what the solutions are, you must stay inside the envelope, it's an incredibly frustrating place to be.
Mm. And just really quickly before we finish, Winston Peters has said recently that Kai Koura was ignored in the budget. What more do you think the budget could have offered to this region?
The businesses need more support and for longer. The small and medium-sized businesses. I think what we're finding is that some of the larger ones have got some salary support, but the small SMEs, they really need some support.
Right, so more support for their recovery.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with us, Tracy. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks, Shamina.
All right. Take care.
That was Tracy Martin from the New Zealand First Party. The Wire.